Well, if the president is looking to start his administration on an urgent note, he may look no farther than the markets. All during the inauguration speech, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was plunging and ended the day about 4% down. And here's a number for you. Since Election Day, the value of at least one bank stock, Citicorp, has gone, or Citigroup, has gone down 89%. It's hovered between 80 and 89% in the decline in value since Election Day. People who were watching the markets yesterday were suggesting it's not so much that this is some sort of fear of Barack Obama. It's that they don't even have time to look up from the fiasco that's taking place on world markets all over the place. And Asian markets were down similarly this morning, around 2%. Joining us to talk about all of this is Dan Gross, senior editor for Newsweek. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John.
It seems that let's talk about the banks first. It seems that there's a bit of a problem in the sort of bank bailout that relates to the fact that as the government takes a higher and higher stake in U.S. banks and acquires this preferred stock, the common stock of the banks begins to slide to zero. And I'm wondering if we're looking at a de facto nationalization of the banks simply because there's no other direction for it to go.
Absolutely. You know, there's been this very slow realization. I call, 2008 was maybe the year of living cluelessly.
Nice.
Given the way the banks had set themselves up, taking on all those liabilities, buying all those mortgage-backed securities and things they couldn't trade, and not having capital to back it up, they basically set themselves up to be worthless in the case of, a widespread decline in the value of their assets. And that's basically what happened. It's just that the shareholders and the government have been very slow to just say, listen, your stock is worth zero. The market, people think it's efficient, but it's not very efficient. The upshot of having the taxpayer come in and have to, not only give you capital and take shares, and then, as in the case with Citi, have to come in and say, oh, here's $45 billion more, and, oh, by the way, we will backstop and guarantee further losses. That combined with the numbers they're posting, the losses they're seeing on things like consumer credit cards, corporate loans, et cetera, there's not much there.
The losses are staggering, or at least when you read them, there's certainly cause for great concern. And Dan, I'm just wondering, given all of this paralyzing fear about the value of banks, why not just buy up all of the bad assets and set them aside in some other kind of organization?
Well, that's part of the conversation that's been happening. There's this talk of creating the so-called bad bank. Of course, if you put all the assets in the bad bank, there wouldn't be all that much of a good bank left. And, in Britain, they've gone a little more direct. They have gone to sort of full, almost straight nationalization of some of their biggest lenders who failed, because it's a more efficient, realistic thing to do. The question is, the shareholders of Citigroup, who have, as you noted, lost 80-90% of their value, the managers of Citigroup, they don't want nationalization because they know that that would probably do away with their jobs and any hope of recouping value from these shares. But given what they're asking the taxpayer to do, which is to provide cash now and backstop billions and billions of potential losses that are far in excess of Citigroup's market value, it's worth about $15 billion.
Right.
On the open market today.
We could almost buy it, Dan.
You and I?
We almost could, yeah.
Yeah, well, I hear NPR give out big bonuses this year. Everybody got paid.
Right. Yeah.
The market is essentially saying there really is no value for the common shares. In other words, there's still $15 billion of value, but given the amount of taxpayer money that's come in, the potential losses, market has sort of spoken.
Yeah, there's $300 billion supporting $15 billion in value. I mean, that sort of says it all right there. All right, quickly, it appears that the market is predicting no turnaround in financials globally for at least three more quarters. That's what these numbers look like to me. Secondly, we seem to be looking at something pretty unprecedented here, and that is, as China seems to be financing America's stimulus package And, you know, debtor nations around the world are financing Europe's stimulus packages. We're looking at a situation where all currencies are going to start declining at the same level. And I'm just wondering what the implications are for Main Street as the value of all financial assets just kind of floats downward.
Well, it means that if you can't afford to go to Disney in Florida, you might consider Euro Disney in Paris if the, you know, if the euro is going to start crumbling. Look, we haven't had any modern experience with a kind of global deflation, right? What we're talking about here is the value of currencies of the developed world falling, of the value of our financial assets, namely our stocks, but also housing. You know, there's a housing bubble in Europe just as there was here, and that's coming out. So we haven't experienced anything like this since the early 30s. And I'm loath to make too many comparisons to the Great Depression because our policy, the Federal Reserve, the fact that we have a new president now instead of after 4 years of these problems, you know, makes that analogy not hold up so much.
Well, but it also means that there are fewer levers to pull and that Barack Obama can only do so much. We're going to have to leave it there, Dan, but it certainly indicates just how daunting it is as Barack Obama begins to take a look and meet with his economic advisors today on the first real day of his presidency. Dan Gross, senior editor, economics editor at Newsweek, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
And now headlines from Mark Garrison.
Thank you. It's 29 minutes after the hour.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.